Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And welcome to the WrestleMania Night 1 preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Andy Murray of What Culture to look ahead to the first night, first of two nights of WrestleMania. I bloody love a two-night WrestleMania. They better not change it back next year. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown. For now, my brain hurts and I can't think of another way to describe it. The Wednesday night war between AEW and NXT. Pay-per-views, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Andy Murray to look ahead to the first night of WrestleMania. The reason being, of course, Andy Murray and Adam Nicholas will be doing our live stream tonight for the event. Very much looking forward to this, Andy.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. You know, the obvious point of appeal for these shows is the return of fans en masse to a WWE event with 20-odd thousand people there each night. It's going to be really, really fun to have kind of like a live reaction to feed off and feel the energy once again. It's been so long in this kind of empty arena era. We originally christened it, although I guess technically it's not quite that anymore. And, you know, on top of it, while the build to WWE pay-per-views, you're always going to be able to find things that haven't been done particularly well. And you can certainly say that for a lot of these matches. But if you look at the matches for both nights, I think this is a pretty solid lineup. And if you kind of take it in a bubble and just look at the card and judge it on what the card is without taking any of the outside stuff into account, which is hard to do because wrestling doesn't exist in a bubble. But if you can do that, it's going to be a good show. I'm looking forward to it. I look forward to Mania every year. Not as much as the Royal Rumble, which is my most hotly anticipated show of the year. But yeah, should be fun. Two nights, 3.5, 4 hours each. Not an 8-hour marathon. Going to just sit and do a stream with all the great viewers and everyone else and have fun with Adam Nicholas, drink a few beers. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Two, three, four contenders for match of the night for me. Let's start with something that may well be out of date by the time this podcast comes out. We're recording this on Thursday afternoon. This will go out on Saturday, of course. There's a SmackDown that always trips us up usually before pay-per-views. And, well, as part of that, speculation, rumour and innuendo, whatever you want to call it, around this tag team turmoil match. It leads, of course, to the tag team title match on night two. At time of recording, the teams competing in it are Lana and Naomi, Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose, the Riot Squad, and Natalya and Tamina. First off, Andy, how do you feel about that? And who else do you think could or should be added to this match?
Yeah, so if they haven't already been added when we're recording this, I think that they showed the match graphic with Billy Kay and Carmella on it kind of shows their hand a little bit, doesn't it? I would be very surprised if they weren't added on SmackDown 24 hours from now, but technically 24 hours in the past because of the recording time. Taping is crazy. So I would 100% expect them to be added. I think this match and obviously the title fight the following night kind of feel like a cynical excuse just to get the titles on the pay-per-view because it's not really a built thing, this. It's just something they randomly decided to do. Now, to be fair, Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax have had interactions extensively on Raw, in particular, with Lana and Naomi and Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose.
And being them on several occasions, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you can look at that and go, okay, well, they have history, so maybe they, you know, belong in the conversation or whatever. But I think the whole situation here kind of shows the extent to which this is just kind of a thrown together division that hasn't been given much, if any, kind of booking respect in a while. You just look at these pairings. I mean, Lana and Naomi have existed as a team for, 2 months? And they kind of wear the similar colors of attire sometimes, and that's the extent of it, okay? they both seem like really nice people in real life. Maybe that's why they're teaming. I don't know. Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose, I guess they've had a bit more tenure, but there's not much to them. They come out and have a five-minute match on Raw and usually lose. The Riot Squad, okay, yeah. Fair, they exist, they've existed for a while, and they would probably be my pick to win this, primarily because they're an established team. Natalya and Tamina, okay, cool. Natalya is very talented, but you know, Tamina's been around for a long, long time without changing much to her act. So it's, of all the things on this card, it's definitely the most difficult thing to get excited about, but that's not a fault of the performers as usual. It's just the disregard that's gone into booking it. So hopefully it'll outperform expectations. Who knows? Billie Kay's been a lot of fun since, you know, the really silly iconic split. So maybe she can add some juice.
You say it's difficult to get excited about it, but there is speculation rife, mainly around the What Culture office, regarding new teams being added. I mean, Hamflet's even sat there and said to me, yeah, I think we're going to get Bailey and Becky Lynch, maybe, or Bailey and Charlotte Flair. Or
what's he on about?
Any chance that you reckon that? Or even my fantasy booking of, yes, or, like you say, we're speculating something that's already happened. But Carmella's taken a sweet time in saying that she will partner with Billie Kay. What's to stop Billie Kay as Carmella's making that entrance where she's lit from behind, she's having a bit of a boogie. Just someone comes on and Kangaroo bloody kicks her out the way. It's Peyton Royce. The band is back together. And yeah, obviously that's my fantasy booking for them to win the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, that would actually make a lot more sense and be a lot better than literally any of these other teams apart from maybe the Riot Squad winning. Because like they shouldn't have split the Iconics in the first place. They're an established team with chemistry. They're really good together. They're better together than they are apart. Yeah, man, I'd be here for that. Like the Charlotte and Becky and Bailey and all this stuff. It's kind of like, why? Like they're big names, they would make a better match. But it's like, why the hell would bet like Charlotte just turn up and go, hey, guess what? I've got Bailey with me now. I love the idea of this being a more star-studded affair, which it would be if you put Charlotte and Bailey or someone else in there, but it doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Speaking of things that don't make sense, look at this for a segue. Steel cage match, Braun Strowman and Shane McMahon. This, genuinely, is a match I'm gutted I'm not on the stream for.
Yeah, this should be fun, right? Like, the thing is, this feud has sucked so bad. But at times it has kind of veered into so bad it's entertaining territory. Like when Braun was cutting his promo about doing it for the stupid people or whatever it was last week or this week, sorry, on Raw. And then all the over the top Shane stuff, you're a dummy, I'm gonna do hopscotch to show you're a dummy and all this. It's fun. I like fun bad sometimes. And the Shane McMahon stunt shows are always a good time. I cannot think to the last Shane McMahon gimmick match that wasn't at least entertaining, right? Even The Miz at WrestleMania the other year, which we were fortunate enough to be there for, was loads of fun because he just jumps off stuff and does silly things. Braun is in a weird, weird place at the moment. They have done quite the hatchet job with that man and his character over the past few years. But I'm kind of choosing to err on the side of maybe this will be a fun train wreck. Maybe he'll do the choo-choo noises inside the cage this time for a bit of variety. I don't know. We're going to have fun watching it, I'll tell you that much. It's not going to be a five-star match. Of course it's not, but maybe we can make the most of it. That's my faint hope for all of this.
Yeah, you don't have to drink alcohol. It's entirely up to you. I, for one, will be playing a drinking game that whenever they are playing a train noise, I will be drinking. Maybe yes. To get through this match, if I'm perfectly honest. And like you say, it's mad that they've gone, what's Shane really good at? Jumping / falling off big things. Right, let's book a match where he has to be confined within the ring then. There we go.
Yeah.
And just to clarify, I assume you're going down this road, or this train track is more appropriate. Braun has to win this, otherwise he is a legitimate idiot, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the whole point of the feud, isn't it? I'm going to prove that I'm not a moron. If you lose, you are absolutely screwed, pal. So, yeah, he has to win. There's nothing else.
Aside from Shane falling off stuff or maybe being thrown off the top of the cage back into the ring, obviously, this isn't going to be when. Didn't Braun lose a match because he threw Kevin Owens off the top of a steel cage? Did I dream that?
Yeah. Hey, you know what, man? That might actually be the finish here because it would be like, how stupid are you, man? You lost because you threw your opponent off the top of the cage. That would just prove Shane's point. Oh, God. That's the finish. That's definitely what's going to happen. Gee whiz.
What I'm thinking is Shane's obviously big brain time is going to be handcuffing Braun Strowman to the ring. And then I think he's going to do the whole Abyss-esque from DNA, ripping off the handcuffs. Shane, sweaty bastard that he is, who won a steel match again, I think, via sweat when he faced, was it The Miz? Yeah, it was around the time he was facing The Miz. Because his top just came off so sweaty. For God's sake. Anyway.
Disgusting, man.
Anyway, what was I going to say? Yeah, Braun gets him as he's trying to escape, throws him back in the ring. I think Braun has to pin him. Braun escaping a steel cage is dumb. So he has to pin him. And I'm willing to bet, there's not many things I'm willing to go out on a limb on, but I'm willing to bet that there's going to be a dunce cap at some point introduced into this match. And then the end shot will be a very fat, sweaty Shane McMahon with a dunce's cap on his head as he's lost. Or maybe some goo, because they bloody love gunge and goo and all that bollocks.
Yeah. Maybe they'll get the Dave Benson Phillips back and just gunge Braun. Why the hell not? They've already done that. What am I talking about? How did I forget? Yeah, I mean, like this whole feud has been a catastrophe, but I kind of like a catastrophe every now and then. So we'll see, man. We'll see. It does have the lowest floor on the entire card. I think, you know, even the women's tag team turmoil match here, which has just been thrown together as it is, has less chance of being a disaster than this. But wouldn't a disaster be kind of fun? That's what I'm asking.
A match I don't think will be a disaster. I think will be a bit of a sleeper hit. It's going to be Bad Bunny and Damian Priest versus Miz and Morrison. Hey, hey, ho, ho. Bad Bunny's been a real breath of fresh air, I thought, on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, like the thing about Bad Bunny is that a lot of wrestling fans are immediately cynical whenever someone who isn't pro wrestling comes in, like a celebrity from outside comes in and taking up all this airtime from the great young talent they could be pushing. And to be fair, they've got a point. They do have a point. But Bad Bunny is a huge star. He's a bigger star than WWE itself. He has made an absurd amount of money in merchandise revenue since coming in. And on top of all this, the pro wrestling stuff we've seen from him so far, it's actually been pretty good. The guy can throw a really good worked punch. We've seen that. And who would have seen that coming? Unless he's actually just punching people in the face.
That's Shane McMahon. It works for Shane McMahon, so there you go.
Yeah, exactly. It works for the King of Potatoes, the tatty man himself. But, you know, he can throw a punch. He can take an ass kick it. And he caught a pretty good promo in this week's episode of Raw. So rather than, you know, there was a time when I was that wrestling fan who approached every single celebrity match with cynicism. And, you know, to be fair, it's kind of justified when you look at like Snooki and things like that, right? But in recent years, Stephen Amell has done really, really well. Pat McAfee might be the celebrity goat in pro wrestling. He's been awesome every time he stepped in, and Shaq did a really good job on Dynamite as well. So I'm not saying that this is evidence that Bad Bunny is definitely going to be good, but I think he might be good, particularly if they only limit him to, like, I don't know, doing a big elbow drop or something, right? You can teach him how to do that.
Damian Priest, frog splash, conspicuous by its absence in your list just then.
Yeah. you never know, man. You never know. But like, hey, you know, they've got good stooge opponents. They got a couple of dark heels that they can kind of make a fool out of without really harming them. I think if you're going to book Bad Bunny, this is the best thing you could have done. And I'm going to be optimistic. I think this might be better than the Shane McMahon match.
Yeah, you might be right there, to be honest. And I think just looking across this entire card, this is the result I'm most confident on. You do not bring Bad Bunny in, start the Royal Rumble, have him do the Booker T performance, then come off the turnbuckle after someone smashes up his DJ area, and then not have him win and presumably strap the rocket a little bit to someone like Damian Priest. I hope so, anyway. But yeah, I think Miz and Morrison are going to bump brilliantly for Priest, and really, hopefully, show how much Bad Bunny's learned. I think, because like you say, I think he's got something to offer more than just amazing amounts of social media following.
Yeah, absolutely. And you hear all these reports about like how well he has applied himself to wrestling and stuff. He's not just come in and been a passenger and taking it easy. He's like learning and stuff, and he's a fan of the sport. I think it's really cool, and WWE needs to do things to make them cooler. Bad Bunny is cooler than WWE. He's far closer to the zeitgeist than WWE has been in 20 years. Stuff like this makes sense, man, and you know it's never going to be for everyone. But let's just have a laugh and watch Bad Bunny pinning The Miz, a former WWE champion. It's going to be hilarious.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let's move on and talk about another tag match, this time for the Raw Tag Team Championships. It's the New Day versus AJ Styles and Big George. A lot being made on Monday Night Raw, Andy, of AJ Styles' losing streak. They're winning the tag titles, aren't they?
Yeah, they're definitely winning. 100%. 100%. It's such a curious way to book people, isn't it? By presenting them as total losers before they go and win the bigger match. It's so ass backwards. It's kind of ridiculous. But yeah, he's lost 3 matches in a row on Raw, and that tells you all you need to know. They're going to win the belts. I would have had this as the match. I think we did a podcast on this a couple of weeks ago where I said, you know, if one title isn't going to change hands, I think it'll be this one. But that has been totally undone by the past few weeks. They're definitely winning. This is such an interesting thing, because what on earth is Omos going to be like? How's he going to wrestle? How much has he learned? What's his training been like? I love watching debuting wrestlers who've been around for a while, because you just have no idea what they're going to be capable of, and you learn something on the night. With him, with Omos, it's particularly exciting, because you know the last person I was waiting for the debut of and building it up in my head was Wardlow in AEW, and he had that great match with Cody. But the thing with Wardlow was that he was an experienced indie guy. So if you wanted to watch Wardlow before that match, you could go on YouTube and find some matches. With Omos, he's done a couple of battle royals and a tag match or whatever on the NXT house show loop 2 years ago, and that's all we have of him. And it's, you know, the footage isn't there. So I'm dead excited to see what he is and what he can do. There are things you can do with a lumbering big man when he's tag teaming with one of the greatest wrestler of all time, that it won't matter if all he knows is how to throw his opponent like a dart or do a slam. You can just kind of book him like a late career Andre the Giant, when he could barely do anything and they just built him up as the ultimate weapon in tags. It's going to be fun. AJ's great. The New Day are one of the greatest tag teams of all time. Maybe the greatest in WWE. I think that argument is right there. And the appeal comes from Omos, for me, seeing what he can do. He's in there with three tremendous pro wrestlers.
Exactly. So. Yeah, I think you can put, AJ with either Kofi or with Xavier, and they'd have, a genuinely really good match. And they've probably been holding back on a lot of that with what they've been doing on Monday Night Raw, especially because they knew half of the finishers they were going to go to. But also, and not to neg Big Jord too much, because I'm very excited to see if he can do more stuff like throw Kofi around like he did a couple of weeks ago. If there's any people, apart from me, I feel like Dolph Ziggler is one of the best bumpers in the WWE right now.
Definitely.
But if all Big Jord can do is stand still or slightly lift his leg up like Great Khali used to, Xavier Woods and Kofi's going to make it look $1 million. But yeah, I think AJ and Omos, as WWE are calling him, are leaving as Raw Tag Team Champions. Actually, this reminds me of a question I was going to ask you at the beginning. I completely forgot. New Day to come out first? Like, who do you want to be the first team or person out at WrestleMania to get that huge pop?
Huge pop. Oh, it's tough. It's really tough because you look at this, lineup, and I think previously when we talked about this, I said Bianca Belair as the challenger for the women's title in the opener. But there's now a chance that that might be the main event. If Sasha Banks' Twitter activity today is anything to go by. So not too sure that would happen. I think the New Day are probably good candidates for it, actually. Like, they don't have the big crowd-popping entrance theme. You know, it's a great entrance theme and it suits them, but it's not like an explosion of noise that instantly makes you go boom with it. But who doesn't love the New Day? Who doesn't like these guys? For all the chit-chat about them being stale and all this, and they've been around for ages and they need to evolve, no, they don't. Live crowds love them. They sell merch. They're really popular. They don't need to change a damn thing. Yeah, it's a great shout. I mean, the misguided WWE thing would be, hey, Shane McMahon's coming out first, wouldn't it? But yeah, man, it's a great shout. I mean, it would certainly be a better shout for me personally than what I think will happen, and that is Hulk Hogan. So let's pray for the New Day option over him. But good shout for me.
I'm going to talk about next about Cesaro Seth Rollins. It still shocks me every time I say it that this is Cesaro's first singles match at WrestleMania. What? No, surely not. Anyway, he's facing Seth Rollins. This is an easy contender for match of the night, isn't it, given the time?
Yeah, from a pure work rate perspective, it's quite clearly the one that you would most look forward to and go, hey, this is going to be really, really good technically and everything else. It's crazy that Cesaro, has been around for so long. What's he been in WWE for, a decade now? It must be that. Or close to it, at least. Against Seth. This current Seth character is really weird. The drip stuff and the wild suits. I'm not too sure he's pulling it off as well as maybe some other people might suggest he is. But it doesn't really matter, I think, for what's going on around and outside it and everything else. They're two fantastic wrestlers. Cesaro, again, I would put in the bracket of one of the best of all time from a pure in-ring perspective. And I'm excited to see what they can do. The concern with a match like this is that it's WrestleMania. Well, obviously there have been lots and lots of genuinely great, pure wrestling matches at WrestleMania. Primarily the appeal of the event is the Hollywood bombast and the moments and everything else. So it's always a concern that a match like this will only get 8 or 10 minutes, but hey, look, it's a 7-match card so far. It's a shorter night. It's every chance they'll get the time they need to craft something meaningful. And I hope they do. And I hope Cesaro wins as well, because he's been waiting a long time for that WrestleMania singles win, hasn't he?
Yes, it makes sense if you're WWE to have Seth Rollins go over and use this as a catalyst to put him back into some sort of title picture. But for me, you can do that on a week's notice on SmackDown. I think you can just have him be like, remember when I was world champion loads? Yeah, I fancy having that back again if Brian's champion or whatever. This is really the key moment for Cesaro for me, along with all the others. Just, yeah, put him, have him win here. Have him challenge for a title, world title, at a pay-per-view, like Money in the Bank, where people aren't just buying it for the title matches. Job done for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, Cesaro has to win, and preferably break his record for swinging Seth Rollins en route, because in terms of like crowd reactions, people counting along to that will be bloody loving it. And yeah, Seth Rollins, he knows exactly what he's doing. Just so annoying. I mean, the other week on SmackDown, he was like, he will never swing me at cut two, immediately being swung again as many times as Cesaro can be asked, basically. But yeah, good to see Cesaro get a singles match at WrestleMania. And yeah, for me, his first win at WrestleMania in terms of a singles match. Obviously, he's won the Andre the Giant before. Let's talk Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. SmackDown Women's Championship, like you say, potential main event. Should have been the main event if they'd put WrestleMania together on February the 1st, in my opinion. But still, it gets tougher and tougher to call this. I feel like you have to put the title on Bianca Belair, but Sasha Banks is still Sasha Banks. So has she ever won a match at WrestleMania? I was glancing at this the other day. You remember Sasha Banks ever winning at WrestleMania?
Off the top of my head, I could not tell you either way, to be perfect.
I'm going to check out Darren's win-loss records.
Go on, Darren.
Ever reliable resource for our quizzes. I'm not sure if it'll be out yet, but we've got a WrestleMania quiz coming up this weekend. I'll look into that. You tell me what you think about this match.
Yeah, so this is kind of like the epitome of what I was talking about in the introduction there. They've made a real hash of the build to this match when it should have been so easy with all the can they coexist as partners stuff. It's just so contrived, pardon me, and silly, and probably like I can't really think of a less compelling way of pulling off a Banks Belair feud than what they've done. And that sucks. But at the end of the day, again, because I'm one of these weirdos who can compartmentalize stuff and ignore the build to a degree and just look at the match from purely what the match could be, it's a great pairing of two great wrestlers. Sasha Banks is one of the best in the world, I think, in every department, from character and promos and presentation to the ring work. She's a great big match machine. Bianca Belair has been phenomenal for ages. She's got such presence to her, Bianca Belair. She commands attention, even when you're just watching her on television. And she's evolved from, you know, just when she came through, she was doing a few power spots and she did the hair whip and everything else, but her act has really grown since then. And the hair whip is the best thing ever. And yeah, I wish she would do more, to be fair. But yeah, no, this should rule. This should rule hard. I expect nothing but excellence from these two, because that's what they've conditioned me to expect from their work. I think they're great. It would be nice to see them headline for sure. I think, especially for what like Sasha in particular did on the main roster last year when crowds were gone, her and Bayley were right up there as WWE's MVPs, if not WWE's two MVPs outright. So while I can definitely see an argument for the other singles title match here headlining the show, I would like to see this one get that spot. And yeah, you're right. It is tough to call. Losing to Sasha Banks is no shame because she's Sasha Banks. But it would be nice for them to cap Bianca Belair's rise with a title win. The Royal Rumble win was extremely well played. The past few months haven't been as good, but a big win here would undo all of that. I think it'd be tremendous.
Yeah, I think you kind of have to. Off the top of my head, or just look then, by the way, yeah, Sasha Banks is 0-5 at WrestleMania.
Yikes. Oh, wow.
And yes, and I realized as I was looking at that, Cesaro did technically win a singles match on the kickoff show against Drew Gulak last year, but don't at me. Since the Women's Royal Rumble started, we had Asuka won it, lost at WrestleMania. Very good. We had Becky won at WrestleMania. Charlotte, oh no, so it'd be 50-50. No, I mean, it's very WWE to go 50-50. But yeah, I think Bianca wins. And I think it's the right thing to do. And I think you've got a whole host of people she could face on SmackDown. And yeah, if they don't main, I don't think they will main event. I think they deserve to. I don't think they will. I think WWE went hard on, I know they say, oh, everything's a bloody main event at WrestleMania. Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre is what I think Vince will choose to be the main event of night one at WrestleMania, unfortunately. Not unfortunately, but unfortunately for Sasha and Bianca Belair. I think as a result, you'll have the rematch of this main event, the next pay-per-view, because Bianca Belair will win and Sasha Banks will step up a rematch, which is the right thing to do. and more Sasha and Bianca, take away the iffy builds. I am 100% here for, and I think it's going to be there. Yeah, that's my pick out of everything for match of the night, Sasha and Bianca, without question. I think they've had 3 months to prep for this. They're going to tear the house down, in my opinion. But let's talk about what could well be the main event, that being Bobby Lashley defending the WWE Championship versus Drew McIntyre. Lots of questions to ask with this, Andy. Rather than just, you know, who leaves as WWE Champion, are the Hurt Business really split up? What do you reckon to all this bollocks?
I think it's bollocks, yeah. that's where I'm at with it. Yeah, so I think whatever the plan is here, it sucks, right? It totally sucks. If this is just a pure split, which to me it does look like that at the moment, then it's terrible. Why? Would you take like genuinely the coolest act on the roster, something that MVP had kind of taken three wrestlers who weren't necessarily, well, no, okay, all three of them were struggling before they came into the Hurt Business. How can you take this group of guys who worked so well together and had been elevated by forming together with this great manager? And they were still hot. They were still popular. Nobody wanted to see them split up. Why did you do that? It doesn't make any sense. Like, and you've now turned Bobby Lashley into this crap heel coward who doesn't want to do his own dirty work. And it's like, yeah, okay, the chicken shit heel is a classic pro wrestling character and it works well when done well. But it's what WWE do for about 90% of their top heel champions when they're not named Brock Lesnar. It's really frustrating to see them go down this route when Bobby was doing so great as a dominator, as a big bruising destroyer man, because that's what he's tremendous at. So if it is just a pure split, it sucks. But if it's a swerve, it sucks as well. Because What's your reason for swerving? It's so that you can get around the stipulation that the Hurt Business are at ringside. Or they can't interfere because they're aligned with Bobby. Well, now they're not aligned with Bobby, so they can interfere. Why not just have Lashley go over clean, you bunch of raisin-bald cowards, if that's the end goal? It's big-brained bollocks, and I hate it. Which is because I love Bobby Lashley, and I love the Hurt Business, and I'm a little mark for those guys, and I'm really upset that they're no longer here as a stable.
Like just with Bianca, just the same with Bianca and Sasha, they've had too long to think about this, haven't they? And they've overthought themselves. Like, Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre, whatever you want to present them as. For me, I'd have just had both of them be hard bastards because heel and babyface tropes have really played out. And you can just say, like, pick who you like. Because at the end of the day, as long as they have a great match, the crowd will applaud when Drew McIntyre lifts this belt, even if they were there to support Bobby Lashley or whatever. And the same, Bianca and Sasha. All you had to do was say, straight away, first SmackDown after the Royal Rumble, face you for the title. Who have you been meeting loads? Carmella. Right, I'll show you what I can do with Carmella. She beats Carmella in half the time that it took Sasha, who suddenly realizes, oh, bollocks, I'm under a bit of a threat here. They both go in as baby faces. Bianca wins. Sasha turns on her. And then you've got another match race. It's just, if they burn through so much stuff because they second-guess themselves. It really frustrates me, this.
Yeah. And then you hear the report about the Hurt Business going to Vince and saying, don't split us up. This is a crap idea. And that only making Vince more like determined to do it. It's just the system sucks. The system really sucks. And it's another example of why I like genuinely, earnestly investing in things in WWE is always just going to lead to disappointment in situations like this. So I really hate the whole deal. I hate the bollocks surrounding this match. But I think it'll be a good match at the end of all of it. The two big, massive men smashing into each other is a winning formula. I think Lashley hasn't quite had the same run as Sheamus, like in terms of having these big, beefy bangers recently. But he's looked great whenever he's had a singles match. So... I'm excited for it on that level. But yeah, the whole build has sucked. And it's all for the sake of what? Getting Baron Corbin on Raw? I like Baron Corbin more than I like than most people like Baron Corbin, but gee whiz. Frustrating. Extremely frustrating circumstances. And if the end goal is Drew going over and Bobby Lashley going back to doing whatever, well, now he doesn't have his great stable with him. And now he's back to where pretty much he was at the end of the Lana feud. He still has MVP, who's awesome. But I don't feel good about any of this, really. And the idea that Drew would win because he can have a moment, it's also artificial. It's booking for moments rather than just telling an organic story is a big problem across pro wrestling. And I wish companies wouldn't do it. But if you can't tell, this match really brings out the cynical old man in me for sure.
Yeah, it's needless what they've done with Bobby. I think Drew McIntyre wins. I think not just for having that moment. I think he's been a great world champion, you know, carrying them through this ongoing global bust. And whilst I don't think people should win titles just because of that, I think there's a chance he wins here, walks out on Raw and goes, wow, what a bloody year it's been. And then someone who he beat at last year's WrestleMania, and I'm not talking about the Big Show, comes back and says, yeah, I think it's time you give me that belt back. And then they have the match run that back in front of a crowd with more than 5 minutes, you know, given to them because they can clearly do more. And like you say, in terms of the match itself, before I get too ahead of myself, as a dry run, what Drew McIntyre has been producing with Sheamus, and Sheamus deserves so much credit for this as well, it's going to be sensational if they go down that sort of big, beefy bastards who can still defy logic in the ring, because we know the athleticism that Drew McIntyre, and in particular that Bobby Lashley possesses. I hope that this isn't going to get ruined by heel babyface tropes, because these two men deserve a huge WrestleMania main event and a real standout performance. And I hope we will get it on Saturday night, or tonight, as I should say. I always forget what day it bloody is. Anyway... Right. Well, join Andy and Adam Nicholas for our WrestleMania live stream tonight. Let us know your thoughts on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE, of course. Well, actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for hey. I'll see you on the stream tonight. It'll be fun.
Yes.
It'll be a good time.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow Adam Nicholas at It's Adam Nicholas. Tell him that you're looking forward to seeing him tonight as well. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. Loads of WrestleMania content, of course, over the next few days. And make sure you join myself and Phil Chambers for night two of WrestleMania tomorrow night. Myself and Michael Hamflett will be previewing all that tomorrow as well. But for now, this has been WrestleMania night one preview. My thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.